Welcome to the Mass Device Fast 5 MedTech News Podcast, the show that keeps you up to date on the latest breakthroughs in medical technology with the top five news stories to get your day started. I'm your host, Executive Editor Chris Newmarker, filling in for Senior Editor Daniel Kirsch this week. And today, once again, back with Associate Editor Sean Hooley. Sean, how are things going?
Going well. We got a lot of news today, a little bit of surgical robotics theme, I would say. But yeah, quite a few different things to get into.
All right, so what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we'll discuss new surgical planning technology from Siemens Healthineers, more surgical robotics news with the first installation of a robot at one company and a vital funding round at another. Then we have a new CGM that utilizes AI at Roche Diabetes Care. And we have some reports that Boston Scientific's acquisition of Axonics could be under some scrutiny.
Interesting. Well, okay. Well, I guess what are we going to start out with?
Siemens Healthineers launched a new surgical planning tool. The company made it available for the Apple Vision Pro, so it's another one of those VR headset sort of tools that are all the rage right now.
Okay, so what is Siemens Healthineers doing with the Apple Vision Pro?
So it's got the Cinematic Reality app is what it's called, and it enables users to view immersive interactive holograms of the human body that are captured through real-world medical scans. So surgeons, medical students, or even patients could use this technology. And essentially the goal is that visualization through the app could assist in surgical planning, medical education, and help patients visualize their own procedures.
That's really interesting. And I we had this news out just a few weeks after Stryker announced, that they had a My Mako app to go along with their Mako surgical robotic system. And that also runs on Apple Vision Pro. Kind of feels now like there's maybe some buzz in the medtech development community about running stuff on this new Apple VR AR headset set. But so now with Siemens Healthineers' new app, I mean, so tell us a little bit more about some of the key features on this.
So users can zoom into details of clinical images and large content and rotate around the rendering of a human body all on this headset. It provides two-dimensional reading tools like scrolling, allowing clinical case visualization without the need for an additional computer. And effectively, the company says the app helps provide a more realistic way of visualizing organs or body parts, making it easier to explain clinical cases to patients, discuss clinical questions, or educate students. Additionally, the company thinks that down the line, it could even assist in preoperative planning and communication.
Oh, fascinating. And what do Siemens Healthineers executives have to say about the launch?
Christian Zapf, the head of digital and automation at Siemens Healthineers, said that cinematic reality gives people the opportunity to immerse themselves in a world of photorealistic renderings of the human anatomy, and that Apple Vision Pro perfectly presents the three-dimensional experience combined with great flexibility and standalone use. They see great potential for the technology for clinical and educational purposes.
Well, hey, what do we need to know about next?
NanoFlex Robotics announced the first U.S. installation of its surgical robot. The installation took place at the Jacobs Institute in Buffalo, New York.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about this system. It seems like I'm learning about a new robotic surgery system like every month or so. I mean, there's so many companies out there right now doing this.
No kidding. They keep popping up. In this case, NanoFlex designed its system with a compact magnetic field generator and a navigation control unit to guide ultra-flexible devices through the body for a range of complex vascular interventions. The technology enables physicians to directly control, bend, and guide the tip of their guide wire through the vasculature. And physicians that are using the system, most importantly, I'd say, can conduct procedures either at the bedside like normal or from thousands of miles away through remote capabilities.
Really interesting. So what kind of applications are they targeting with this technology right now?
The first sort of field they want to tackle is remote mechanical thrombectomies for acute ischemic stroke patients, which could reduce the need for inter-hospital transfers, shortening the time for reperfusion for those patients. And I think we talk about any time there's a stroke treatment, we just talk about how vital time is to treatment, you know? So that eliminating that time and being able to do things quickly and efficiently and well is clearly a goal here, and NanoFlex thinks that its robot can be used for that purpose.
That's great. And what did the CEO there have to say about the news?
Matt Curran, CEO of NanoFlex, said the company's thrilled to collaborate with the Jacobs Institute for the first installation of its robotic system, said that the company believes remote robotics has the potential to transform surgical outcomes and benefit patients by enabling greater and earlier access to critical treatments.
Looks like the next story up here is yet another surgical robotics company.
You weren't lying. They keep coming. BioBot Surgical raised $18 million to support its surgical robot. Yet another robot story, in this case, a Series B funding round.
What does this robot do?
Well, this robot falls a little bit more in line with some of the traditional robots, only in the sense of naming, as it's named the Mona Lisa, like the Da Vinci and the Hugo and all that.
Da Vinci, Hugo, I got to find something artistic sounding. Yeah, okay.
So it's a robotic-assisted transperineal needle positioning device for prostate disease management. It delivers a precision percutaneous approach to these procedures. And right now, the company's looking to also bring it into the field of benign prostatic hyperplasia, or BPH. But basically, the approach aims to shift from transrectal treatment that can come with infection risks, and with emerging innovations like ablation that's increasingly occur through this transperineal delivery, Mona Lisa, as an intelligent system, could simplify the challenging task of positioning for these procedures.
So this funding that they're getting, what are they going to use for it?
Yeah, the company plans to use the funds raised to accelerate the global expansion and its commercial footprint. It says it brings with it several regulatory approvals, including FDA approval and CE mark, and has already been used in more than 20,000 procedures to date in a number of geographies with more than 50 global installations. So already a pretty large footprint, and they're going to use the funds to make it even larger.
Wow. And so, you know, what is the overall aim here that the company has with its Mona Lisa system?
Well, in a letter to shareholders from CEO Albert Lee announcing the closing of the funding round, he said it marked a significant milestone in the company's journey toward transforming the field of transperineal biopsy and treatment. So that's their goal, is to transform the field. And with FDA clearance for the surgical robotic system, he said the company's well positioned to achieve this goal.
So what are we going to talk about next? Is another robot?
No, but more diabetes, which we've had plenty of this week. Obviously, with ATTD going on, there's plenty of news coming out. Since it's in Florence, Italy, the timing is a little off. So I was up at 6 this morning to sit in on a virtual presentation from Roche, in which they unveiled their new CGM technology.
I mean, what are some of the features of the CGM? And I mean, how does it differentiate itself in any way from like what Dexcom and Abbott are doing?
Yeah, so AccuCheck Smart Guide is what it's called. It shares some similar properties to those other CGMs like Abbott and Dexcom, with 14-day wear time, one-step application process, and watertight properties. It is worth noting that it requires an initial calibration, whereas those Abbott and Dexcom CGMs are factory calibrated. But Roche wants to bring the real-time CGM to both the type 1 and type 2 diabetes populations, including those on insulin therapy, and users can share their data with healthcare professionals. But really, the differentiating factor appears to be the predictive algorithms involved.
Oh, interesting. Tell everybody a little bit about these predictive algorithms. I mean, how do they potentially set this CGM apart?
Yeah, so basically, AccuCheck Smart Guide provides glucose predictions showing estimated developments for different time frames. Based on the CGM data of the person with diabetes, the app shows where glucose levels might go out to the next 2 hours at any given point in time. So it uses three major algorithms and a tool that performs pattern recognitions that identifies recurring behaviors at certain times that could help adapt with both future behavior and therapy. So it's clearly, you know, the selling point of the CGM is that they believe that it will be able to tell users where their glucose levels will be in 2 hours. And that obviously takes out a lot of guessing and worrying and sort of allows them to live their lives without worrying, you know, minute to minute.
It seems like every day somebody talks about a new AI-based, you know, feature that they're putting in a device. It's almost like you have to have it. How did the analysts react to the unveiling?
Well, unsurprisingly, the analysts were impressed by the predictive capabilities, singling that out as a potential differentiator, but otherwise didn't actually seem overly impressed. BTIG's Marie Thibault and Sam Iber said that candidly, from the presentation slides that they saw, they think the Smart Guide looks quite similar to other current generation CGMs, although the exact device footprint is not clear to them. And they said, while they think the longer predictive algorithm is a nice feature that can reduce stress for patients, they're not sure how accurate it is or if most real-world users will find it a meaningful differentiator. And as it stands, while they think it's a suitable CGM, they don't see it as a major competitive threat to either Dexcom or Abbott at this point. Nothing they said was revealed to surprise them or change their outlook on the CGM landscape at this time.
What's our final item for the day?
The FTC is reportedly looking into Boston Scientific's acquisition of Axonix. A Bloomberg report today raised some questions over antitrust probes.
What's the background on the Boston Scientific Axonix acquisition?
Yeah, so back in January, Boston Scientific announced its plans to buy Axonics for $3.7 billion. Companies said that they expected the deal to close in the first half of this year. As far as we know, no change in that timeline. But Axonics, as we've covered many times, develops neuromod systems for treating urinary and bowel dysfunction, delivering mild electrical pulses to the sacral nerve, restoring communication between the brain and bladder. And the company also offers the Bulkamid urethral bulking agent for stress urinary incontinence systems, which seems to be at the center of this right now.
What is being suggested that the FTC might be taking a look at, when it comes to this deal?
So according to Bloomberg, the scrutiny may arrive due to the company's shares of the urinary incontinence market, which analyst Jennifer Rye claimed in the report that Boston Scientific has a leading vaginal mesh and Axonics has that Bulkamid hydrogel bulking agent. And so they believe that that could be the source of the FTC's interest, saying that Boston Scientific, once the acquisition goes through, eventually owning both the market's top mesh and bulking agent could cause those antitrust concerns.
If just theoretically, like we get to the point where the FTC says this deal should not go through, I mean, what would be the fallout here?
Yeah, Bloomberg says that the acquisition agreement requires Boston Scientific to pay Axonics a $140 million termination fee if that deal fails to go through due to the antitrust regulators intervening. The report says that the antitrust authorities received a notification for the deal on January 30th, so it's just over a month that, this look has been going on. But according to Bloomberg, neither company has actually disclosed if the FTC has expanded beyond its initial review into a deeper probe. So yeah, right now it's just a bit of a wait and see, but certainly the murmurs early on, you wonder what could come of this.
Well, that is all we have for today. Thank you, Sean, for sharing today's news with us.
My pleasure. As always, read more on the Mass Device website and check out the show notes at massdevice.com/podcast.
And you can also connect with us online as well. I'm on LinkedIn, Chris Newmarker, just like a new marker. What about you, Sean?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Sean, Sean, Hooley, Whooley.
And subscribe to the Mass Device Fast Five wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode. Join Danielle and Sean next week as we resume the daily MedTech News Roundup. Thanks for listening.